This is the Hub Podcast with Louise Clark.
I'm absolutely thrilled to be having a chat with Chef Kwanji Chan. Hopefully I've pronounced your name right, but if not, you can correct me.
Absolutely perfect.
Good stuff. That's always my main fear, that I'm going to pronounce somebody's name wrong and then they'll be cross with me at the very beginning of the chat. But you're very welcome. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat to us here on the Hub on iRadio.
Thanks very much, Louise, for having me.
Not at all. Now, I suppose we're deep diving into, you know, the background of some chefs that provide us with some amazing food here in Ireland. Can you tell me a little bit about your own background and maybe what brought you to Ireland, if you don't mind?
Yeah, so my story, how I came to Ireland, was just by pure mistake. Like, you know, my mother and father had a very bad divorce, and I was born in Hong Kong. And my uncle lived, was in Donegal, so that's my brother's, my dad's brother. So he had a Chinese restaurant up in Bunkrana, and my dad decided to send me over here, and I ended up staying here. My uncle ended up adopting me, so I was eight when I arrived in Donegal in Bunkrana, in Ireland.
Amazing.
And that's where I started off cooking. Washing rice, cooking rice, and that's where I learned how to cook.
That's amazing. And like, no better place to come to Ireland. I mean, I absolutely love Donegal. Any opportunity I get to go and visit it, I love it when I do. I suppose, you know, when you landed in Ireland, and, you know, I suppose the weather was going to be different, especially the elements. I'm from Galway, so I'm sure Donegal is not too different from the lovely wet weather that we get sometimes.
you get a bit more sun than us now, so.
That's what they say, but I'm not too sure. Every single time I happen to go for a walk in Salt Hill Prom, I seem to get absolutely soaked, but we love it anyway. How has your heritage maybe influenced your cooking style and some of the dishes that you create?
My heritage. So I go back to Hong Kong every year nearly, you know, since I reconnected with my mother about maybe 8 years ago. And so I've been kind of going back and forward. I studied, I've been cooking since I worked in my uncle's Chinese restaurant. I went to Kellebec Kitchen College. Somebody actually said to me that you can actually train to be a chef. I wasn't really good at school or college, you know what I mean, or, you know, leaving certain stuff like that. So cooking was my thing. So that's where my strength was. So I got into Kellebec Kitchen College, and then I kind of studied classical French for, you know, I went out in the industry and worked in a lot of fine dining restaurants all over the country. And I was a head chef in a Michelin star restaurant as well, down the Cliff House, for maybe 3.5-4 years. So I'd done a lot of fine dining. But over the years, I kind of starting to come back to my roots, you know. I love Hong Kong street food, and I love the flavors of like spice, and I love the freshness of coriander, you know. Mm-hmm. I love all that. So I kind of incorporate that and done it more kind of in the casual kind of style, which is the food that I'm kind of doing in my own restaurant now. So, it has influenced me a lot. So, I started the Chinese Asian kind of Irish influence kind of cooking cuisine around maybe 2013, 2014. And I don't think that, and at that time, there wasn't that many Chinese restaurants or kind of, you know, new, if you see now in Dublin, like, you know, there's like so many, like, you know, Chinese restaurants are doing dumplings and diverse kind of stuff, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, you know, hot pot places and all that. So that wasn't there 10 years ago. And I'm hoping that I give a kind of different direction to the Chinese that we know today, you know, or in the past.
Absolutely. I guess a lot of people are going to love being friends with you because, you know, you're going to kind of like bring them so much new kind of culture and cuisine and, you know, get them to try everything. Has food played a lot, a big role in helping you to connect with people? And, you know, obviously if your uncle owned the Chinese restaurant in Donegal and, you know, you're in there at a young age and you're meeting people and you're, you know, learning how to cook and, you know, you're meeting all the locals, I can imagine food played a massive role in helping you you to, you know, connect with the community around you?
Yeah, I think food, like, everybody connects with food. I always say to people, like, you know, we always talk about food because it's a real common thing that everybody does. We all mm-hmm. eat, like, you know, we can yeah. all start off with a conversation with food. And that's a really good starting off, how to, you know, build your relationships with the community around you. And then, you know, you go on further and find different interests. But food hasn't, you know, we all have common interest in food. So it's a great way of, you know, breaking in with the community as well, you know. So, yeah, I think food is definitely, you know, a really good connector.
And also,
food has given me such a platform. Mm-hmm. Over the years, from being on, you know, Virgin Media for doing the 6 o'clock show, for you know, I have my own cookbook out now, which is the first actually Chinese Irish cookbook that's
Amazing.
Published here in Ireland, which we've won, you know, Cookbook of the Year award, and I have restaurants and have my own condiments as well, you know. So I'm just so delighted to represent a Chinese and Irish kind of community, mm-hmm. you know, here. I'm the chair of the Eurotox chefs community around Ireland, so it's
amazing.
Like we promote local artisans, producers around the country. We hold a competition every year to, you know, give some of the best young chefs that are coming up in Ireland you know, more knowledge and more connections, and, you know, with the competition. So they do a Chef of the Year, and, you know, we have contacts with the 2-star, 1-star chefs around the country as well. So we can connect them and just give them a real stepping stone on their career, you know. So it kind of builds the whole food community in the next, you know, 10 years or 20 years down the line. So Ireland would be a really good food hub in Europe, you know, so
that's amazing.
And around the world, yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. What is your signature dish? If people are going to say, oh my gosh, Kwanji, I mean, he cooks this amazing thing, what is it? And can you share maybe a little story behind it as to why you absolutely love cooking it?
I have a load of signature dishes, right? But I suppose the most one, Irish people love spice bags, yeah?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I know in 2017 or 2018, I came up with the spice bag seasoning.
Amazing.
And it went viral. It was the first spice bag seasoning that people can use at home. Because an Irish Times food writer, Marie Claire Digby, asked me to do, I normally do a couple of recipes in Irish Times. And she was saying, can you do a recipe for a spice bag? And I says, what is a spice bag? It was my time when I finished my head chef in the Cliff House, and they came back to Dublin.
Yeah.
And they go, look, just can you just research it and do me a recipe? So I went out and researched it. I says, oh, that's the salt chili chicken that I used to make in the Chinese takeaway up in Donegal. I says, I can do this, no problem. So I went down to the supermarket and trying to get the spice. The way I write recipes for TV is like I keep it as simple as possible, mm-hmm. so people can get all the stuff in the supermarkets. And all the spices are all separate. So so I came up with a spice to mix it all together so you can have it in one tub. So I brought that out in the market and that went viral. So, I started off my business with that. So we sold about maybe 80 or 60,000 in the first 6 months, like, you know, so that
That's
went
amazing.
Viral. And then, yeah, so that was the dish, spice bag seasoning. And then I'd done the Battle of the Food Trucks then as well. I won that in the RT show. And I came up with a spice bag chicken bao. And that's
oh, wow.
in my restaurant now. I can't take it off. So, yeah. So that's the dish.
Well, I definitely won't be able to let you go off this interview without asking you to maybe teach us how to make the best spice bag ever, because I can guarantee you people are probably on their way home this evening and they're going to be listening in going, oh my gosh, I am craving a spice bag. And maybe you might teach it to us.
Yeah, so spice bag, very easy. If you can't buy my spice there, I sell in Asia Market or whatever around, but you can do a five spice mix with some salt and also with some chilies as well, you know. So and you can just give it a mix, kind of like equal kind of quantities, you know, not too much.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of really, I love crispy chicken with kind of moist, you know. So I've been doing it in the air fryer recently. And oh, it's nice. Very well. Have you tried that before? No.
Yeah, I use the air fryer for absolutely everything. I cooked an omelet in it this morning, but it's a bit trial and error.
I never tried an omelet. No, I'm going to try an omelet. But yeah, so coat your chicken in a lovely corn flour. You know, you want to put an egg, you know, on it. Chicken fillets I normally use. Mm-hmm. So cut them in strips and coat them with the egg wash, and then coat them with I normally use the potato flour starch. So you can buy that around now in the health stores or, you know, any supermarket, or you can use corn flour as well. Potato starch gives it a nice kind of crispier kind of, you know, coating on it.
Yeah.
And I love peppers and onions. I fry them off in the wok first. I put my chicken maybe in the air fryer, or you can fry them off in the fryer if you still have one of them in the house. You don't see much of them
fryers
in the house anymore.
No.
So, and then once you get all the spice and your onions and your peppers all there, and you have some chips as well. So sometimes I actually do with sauteed potatoes. It comes out really nice. So that's a baby boiled potato sliced and then just fried off in the pan with a bit of oil, you know, until they come crispy. And then I mix all the chicken, crispy chicken, and the potatoes or the chips together with the spice and coat it. I think the trick is to leave the onions a bit raw, you know, not fully cooking them, because you get a kind of nice crunch and that, you know, the zesty kind of flavour going through as well. So
that sounds amazing. I know everybody's going to be driving home this evening going, right, I know what I'm going to be having for dinner now. Gwanji, it's been absolutely brilliant to have you on. Hopefully you'll come back and maybe teach us some more recipes soon. But if people want to maybe check out your cookery book, maybe if they want to check out everything you're getting up to, and of course, watch out for when you're next on Virgin Media as well, the 6 o'clock show, where can people find out all about you?
Yeah, so just kwanji.com on the website. So, so I'm looking forward to listening out. And thank you so much, Louise. And, you know, it was great chatting to you. And hope you get a chance to try that spice bag.
It's on the list to try over the weekend. Thank you so much. Have a great evening. And it was lovely talking to you.
Thanks. The Hub Podcast with Louise Clark.